Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
Most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God. We come to you, O Lord, right now in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to say thank you, dear God, for your loving kindness, to say thank you, dear God, for your tender mercy, to say thank you, dear God, for your being better to us than we deserve, to say thank you, dear God, for your being better to us than we can ever be to ourselves. Father God, right now, as your spirit moves throughout this place, search our hearts and our minds right now. As a matter of fact, help somebody to recognize that you are still on the throne and that you are still in control. Help somebody quiet someone's disquieted spirit, mend somebody's broken heart, lift up somebody's bowed down head right now. For you are love, and for that we say thank you. Father God, as you move throughout this place, even now, touch, heal, deliver, set free, break yokes right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, there's so much going on in the world, but you said that you are not the author of confusion. But it's the devil, Lord. He desires to steal, kill, and destroy. But Lord, we know that you sent Jesus, and he said that he came that we might have life and life more abundant. And so, Lord, we thank you for that life. Now, Father God, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased, stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, will you just hide me that you would be seen, and silence me that you would be heard. For Lord, these are your sheep. We are your sheep. We are your people. This is your ministry. And you said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. We love you. We thank you and we praise you. As a matter of fact, let everybody in here together, let us decrease that you might increase, not only in this place, but in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. It's in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Together we say amen. Amen. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you would do so as we read our word. The book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 is from whence the word of God will come. It's a familiar passage of scripture, but I declare I'm going to ask that you not go into the word with any presumptions, that every time we open up the word of God, that there's a conversation going on. Minimally, God is speaking. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, the King James Version says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That same passage in the New Living Translation says it like this: "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." Amen. We've come to this fourth Sunday of Advent as we conclude our sermon series with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit. We want to consider the subject, how to celebrate Christmas. How to celebrate Christmas. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen. 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 All this month, my brothers and my sisters, we have been sharing in and we've been talking about how powerful this sliver of scripture is and how, in essence, it is the gospel in the nutshell. For when you look at this passage here in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. That's God's grace. It says that he gave his only begotten son. That's God's gift. That whosoever believeth in him, that's God's gospel, should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's glory. Amen, amen, amen. Today, as I mentioned, is the fourth Sunday of Advent, Christmas Eve, if you will. And it is also our communion Sunday. As a matter of fact, it's our last communion that we're sharing and observe for 2018. The significance of that is that while we on communion, we celebrate the death, the burial, the shed blood, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we'll be having communion at the time that we also remember the coming or the arrival of Christ into the world. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, tell them, neighbor, Jesus was born to die. Amen. We began this sermon series 3 weeks ago trying to refocus our attention on some truths involved in Advent. We started out talking about the need for Advent. The following week, we looked at the promise of Advent. Then last week, we studied the battle against Advent. We discussed how since the beginning of the world, the archenemy of God, Satan, the diabolical one, has waged an all-out war with every conceivable wickedness, come on somebody, scheme and perversion that he could try and muster up, trying to prevent and stop God from keeping his promise to send Christ into the world. Yet at every turn, God, who is the supreme being, the unchallengeable ruler of the universe, he has brushed aside every one of Satan's attempts to derail his promise, the promise that we'll all observe on this coming Tuesday, how the one that was promised, the Messiah, the Savior, the God-man, came into the world just as was declared and promised that he would before the foundations of the world. Thus, as we've covered so far, and I trust that this has been rewarding for each and every one of you. As a matter of fact, I would challenge you that you might want to add this to your series of study. Amen? So today I want to wrap up this study by asking the question, how can we respond to these truths that we've studied together? In other words, how do we celebrate Christmas? Of course, that's a good question. And of course, a lot of people, you probably hear it and it becomes just a catchphrase anymore. Everybody wants to just simply say that Jesus is the reason for the season. And I get it. I mean, considering we're just 2 days before Christmas and perhaps life for some of you is kind of full and busy right now. Maybe I'm talking to somebody you haven't quite finished your Christmas shopping yet. Or that special gift that you might be looking for someone is officially out of stock. Or maybe you found it and you said, what in the world? This just costs too much money. Come on, somebody. Maybe the decorations have not fully gone up, or the lights that you've already hung probably since Thanksgiving are already starting to burn out. For somebody, you got Christmas cards still waiting to be mailed, and the to-do list is steadily growing more and more day by day. For somebody, just life. Life has you feeling frazzled, and time always seems short to finish everything that we have to do. Story is told of a father who called a family conference. And he said to them, he said, I want to challenge you this season to do your best to set your focus on the real reason for the season, on the real reason that we celebrate Christmas. And we want to try to incorporate the true meaning of Christmas into our family gatherings this year. He said that we're going to read the Christmas story, explain why we buy gifts. And we're going to take every opportunity to remind ourselves why we as Christians celebrate this great holiday. It sure has nothing to do with how much we spend. Amen. Of course, he was asking, expecting his family to say amen to that. Come on, somebody. But here's the point I'm making, Sister Nakia. As he brought his speech to a crescendo, his final cry said, if we can do all of those things, this will be the best Christmas ever. Of course, that's the challenge with too many folk. Year after year, they want to make for somebody that they love so much, that they want to make this the best Christmas ever. After that father made his speech, what was amazing is his little second grade son, he sort of listened to the speech and he countered the big motivational speech by noting. He says, but Dad, I don't see how we could ever actually improve on the first Christmas. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's the problem. Folk are forgetting about the first Christmas. But every year you think about your own Christmas and somebody else's Christmas, and you're trying to make that the best Christmas ever. But how can we ever improve on the first Christmas? I'm talking to somebody. No, we can't improve on the first Christmas, but we can improve on how we celebrate Christmas. As we conclude our reflections on the Advent season, this time of expectancy, the time of expectant waiting and the preparation for the celebration of the nativity of Jesus, or the birth of Jesus as told in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew, all observed on that one day, December 25th, that day that we call Christmas. I want us to turn our thoughts, however, on how we ought to rejoice in that great sacrifice that our Lord made on that day, by coming to the earth as an infant, having lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death on the cross, and then 3 days later rose from the dead for you and for me. He saved us from our sins and eternal damnation. Why? Because of his great love, adopting each person individually into his family through confession, faith, and our belief in him. If you mark your Bibles, I want you to do something here. I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians. I want to show you something. We highlighted this in one of the sermons a couple weeks ago, but I want to go back to this. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with the third verse, 3 through 6. I'm going to read it from the Message translation. I believe it'll be that way on your screen, but in your Bible it'll read slightly different. But I want you to hear this in the Message translation. It says, how blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the father of our master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. Y'all got to hear the scriptures. To be made whole and holy by his love, long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. But yet there's more. Drop down to verse 11 and 12. It says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. I'm talking to somebody. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, watch this, he had his eyes on up. I don't hear nobody clapping up in here. Had designs on us for a glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Verse 13 says, it's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment, good God Almighty, on what's coming. a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Somebody should give God a hand clap of praise. I could open the doors of the church just on that. Regardless, I'm talking to somebody. Regardless of how large or small the gift you get or give, regardless of whether or not you put up a tree or not, you got folk arguing about that. We falling out over the wrong stuff. Some folk gauge, no, it doesn't matter how many lights you put up, how many decorations you put out. I mean, because some folk gauge how much people are into the Christmas spirit by their gift giving or how decorative their homes or their yards are. Amen. Some homes, bless your hearts, have so many lights. And they look festive, don't get me wrong. But your neighbors can't sleep. Amen. But then on the other hand, there are some homes that don't have one stitch of a decoration, not one bow hanging anywhere in or around the house. Or maybe if you walked in the house, they got that little bitty Charlie Brown tree, bless his heart, sitting on the kitchen table with that one little bulb hanging, pulling it down, huh? But yet people walk in into that kind of home, and they walk past that kind of home. They don't see lights. They don't see decorations. And they think Mr. and Mrs. Scrooge lives there. Amen. And I say, guess what? This ain't a sermon on telling you how to say, let's celebrate Christmas, whether you hang trees or not, whether you put up lights or not. I say both are fine. Come on, somebody. Because I can't stop helping thinking about that little boy. But Dad, I don't see how we could ever improve on the first Christmas. Amen. I'm not going to tell you not to hang lights. Matter of fact, you're going to hear me say, we need to learn how to celebrate. But even if you don't hang lights, it doesn't mean that you still can't celebrate. As a matter of fact, this text right here in Ephesians highlights several reasons. I'm going to hit just a few of them here. Several reasons why we celebrate and how to celebrate Christmas. Now, I don't have the points up, so you're going to have to take these down, but you can find it right in the scripture. Amen? The reason why we celebrate Christmas and really how we ought to celebrate Christmas, and it's almost ironic that we're talking about this on our communion Sunday. Because, of course, the Bible says that when we take communion, as often as you do this, what? Do it in remembrance of me. That's simply all we want to talk about. Whatever we do, just do it in remembrance of me. And the first thing I want you to know is, the first thing we need to remember is, in Christ we have been chosen. Amen. It says right in the scripture that God the Father chose us in Christ before the world was ever created. He chose us to be holy and blameless in his eyes. And that is how he sees you, and that's how he sees me. God looks upon us with the same kind of love and favor that he looks upon his own son, Jesus. We are chosen to be in Christ and chosen to be holy and blameless in God's eyes. Guess what? That's something to celebrate. Amen. That's why we celebrate. Guess what? That's a cause for praise, and that's how to celebrate. Amen. And guess what? I ain't mentioned nothing about bowls and paper. Come on, somebody. The second thing I want you to see right there in the scripture, it's right there. Second thing I want you to see is that in Christ, we have a destiny. Teach, Holy Ghost. Our destiny is to be a full-fledged member in God's family. Listen. If we are in Christ, guess what? We are in the family. Amen. Some of y'all, listen. Some of y'all, when you get to the house where you're going, some folk going to want to ask, are you family? Who'd you come with? Mm-hmm. Yeah. When a person comes to Jesus in faith, he or she is adopted in the family. Now, let me talk about that, because I don't know how you view adoption. But adoption actually is a wonderful thing. Think about it. Someone who was not a part of the family is welcomed into the family and is given all the same rights and privileges as the other family members. Watch this. There are no stepsons. There are no stepdaughters in God's family. Can I talk in here? If you are in Christ, you are in all the way. Amen. That's something to celebrate. That is a cause for praise. Amen. Something else I want you to see right here in the scripture is that another thing is that in Christ, we have forgiveness. We can't say enough about what Jesus did to provide for our forgiveness. We all had a sin problem that just would not go away. You couldn't fix it. I couldn't fix it. This world don't have anything for the solutions for our problems. But Jesus paid the price for all of us, guess what, with his own life. He laid down his life for you, for me, for all of us. And just like the Passover lamb bled out until there was no more life in them, so did Jesus bleed out. His life drained out of him, but it became available for you and for me. Jesus is the Passover lamb who takes away our sins. As a matter of fact, in Christ we have forgiveness. That is something to celebrate. That is a cause for praise. Can I show you something else? Right there in the text. In Christ, we know who really is in control. No matter how things look around you, you and I must always remember that God is in control. Again, God has a plan, and his plans have never failed. Regardless of how bleak things look in the government and how bleak things look around the world, everyone and everything in heaven and on earth is going to bow before Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah. Amen. He is Lord of all. There is nothing that threatens his ability to rule this world with absolute love and with absolute authority. Amen. Yes, people may exercise their free will just for a few years on this earth, but let me tell you something. Man's will cannot stop God's plan. Man's will can not only stop God's plan for the world, man's will can't stop God's plan for you. Everything is under his control, and one of these days, he will show up. I'm talking to somebody. He's going to show up in person, and he's going to implement his government, the one that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. You said it earlier. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's the word of God. Y'all worried about a partial government shutdown? What? That's not the government that you want to be under rule anyway. When Christ comes back, he said he's going to put the government upon his shoulder. That's something to celebrate. That's cause for praise. Something else you'll find right there in Ephesians is in Christ we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Not only were you marked with a seal, you were marked with the promise by the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit shows who we belong to and ensures our protection from the enemy who seeks our soul. The seal, my brothers and my sisters, is a visible way in which we are to live. It should find expression in our lives, in our eyes, and in the way that we relate to each other. If, I said if, you are in Christ, I didn't say in church. I said if you are in Christ, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, who, guess what, now lives in you. That's a reason to praise. That's something to celebrate, and that is a cause for praise. One more thing I'm going to show you, and I'm going to leave you alone. It says, in Christ, we have a guaranteed inheritance. Huh? Now, you're going to ask some folk for something for Christmas, but they can't guarantee that you're going to get it. They might write it down. They might even have good intentions. They might even ask you for clarification. Now, what did you say again? So guess what? We wait with bated breath, hope so-and-so gets me that one thing that I asked for Christmas. And you forgot about the first Christmas. Come on, somebody. But then in the scriptures, it says we have a guaranteed inheritance with all the spiritual blessings God has already lavished on us. Here's what it still means. Guess what, Brother Davis? We still ain't seen nothing yet. Our inheritance actually, guess what, is yet on the way. It's coming. Life in the immediate presence of God is what awaits you, and it's what awaits me. Guess what the Bible says? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the down payment. Good God Almighty. It says that the Holy Spirit is the down payment which guarantees the rest of God's blessings are going to come to those who are in Christ. God has never broken a promise. It's impossible for God to lie. We have the bulk of our inheritance to look forward to. That, my brothers and sisters, is something to celebrate. And that is a cause for praise. We have every reason to praise God in the celebration of Christmas. Why? Because of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Watch this. As a result of the first advent. But then the bulk of our inheritance that we still have yet to look forward to as a result of the second advent. Good God Almighty. That's why we say hallelujah. And that's why we say thank you, Jesus. Listen, as I get ready to close, there is a prolific and a widely respected African-American poet. Her name is Lucille Clifton. For some of you, if you know that name, for some others, you ought to write it down and Google her. Her name is Lucille Clifton. She writes poems whose work, they focus particularly on the African-American experience and family life, emphasizing endurance and strength through adversity. Well, in one of her poems entitled, Won't You Celebrate With Me?, she has a captivating line that extends a marvelous invitation. The line is, come celebrate with me, for every day something has tried to kill me and has failed. Good God Almighty, I can't get no help in here. This is an invitation to the young, the middle-aged, the senior, the rich, the poor, male, female, black, white, yellow, brown, or tan. Come on, somebody. She said, come celebrate. Come rejoice. Come and party with me, if you will. For every day, something has tried to kill me and has failed. all that was designed against you and against me, against us, has failed. There are over a million diseases capable of destroying human life, blood disorders, heart conditions, kidney conditions, tumors, cancers, and so forth. All of them capable of taking our lives. Yet, guess what? We're still here. I can't get no help. The air is polluted. The water is polluted. Much of our food is contaminated. Yet we are. Good God Almighty. We've made some bad choices, some poor decisions. Our flaws and personal weaknesses, some if not all of them, should have destroyed us or taken us out by now. But thanks be to the Almighty God. We are what? We're still here. Amen. The devil has tried to kill you. He's tried to kill you with drugs. He's tried to kill you with alcohol. He's tried to kill you with an addiction. He's tried to kill you with depression. He's tried to kill you with a broken heart. He's tried to kill you with heart stress. He's tried to kill you with everything imaginable. He has sent demons to talk to you on your job, in your home, in your marriage, in your relationships. Guess what? He's even tried to turn your own children against you. But guess what? We've survived and we are still here. Good God Almighty. That is why some say, celebrate with me. For every day, something has tried to kill me, but I'm still here. That's why we celebrate. Amen. Do me a favor, say, neighbor, come celebrate with me. For every day, something has tried to kill me and has failed. Good God Almighty. Tell somebody else, say, neighbor, come celebrate with me. For every day, something has tried to kill me and has failed. Tell them why. Say, because I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm standing on the promises of God. Can't nothing move me because I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen, amen, amen. So do me a favor. Let somebody off the hook. Amen. Let yourself off the hook. And don't you let folk manipulate you with gifts. God has given you and me the greatest gift of all. Amen. All that was designed against us has failed. Everything. Not here because I've been so good. Not here because I've done everything right. But I serve a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Amen. 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 We've come this morning to celebrate life. But not just any life. A saved, abundant life. And regardless of what you see or don't see up under the tree. And I'm not saying we don't have problems. I'm not saying we don't have issues from the pulpit to the door. But we have so much to be thankful for. No matter what we give or what we get for Christmas, because God has already given us everything we needed for Christmas. Why? Because we can never improve on the first Christmas or on the first Advent? How do I know? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into this world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Sister Mary, we're praying for you. No matter what you're going through, no matter how you're feeling, Sister Deborah Nelson will tell you, it's going to hurt you probably for the rest of your life that your baby girl has been gone on home to glory. But the point I'm making is this. Those of us who are in Christ won't perish, but we're going to have eternal life. The devil's going to do everything that he can. That's his job. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life, and life more abundant. I'm not going to tell you not to buy gifts and presents, but make sure that you don't make that the focus of Christmas. But also be careful using that as a means of saying of why I can't buy you something for Christmas. We got to be careful. Just because you tell somebody Jesus' reason season, that's a code. If I either don't want to get you what you want, in my mind, you don't deserve what you're asking for. Come on, parents. I'm talking, I need an honest parent in the house. Huh? Or we're saying that I can't afford what you're asking me for. Ultimately, none of us could afford the price that had to be paid for our sins. None of us could afford it. But God, Jesus paid it all. And it was paid in full. And guess what? I don't mean no harm, but for some of you, when you finish with this Christmas, you're going to be full of debt. Jesus said, guess what? You don't owe me a thing. Because you can't pay for what I did for you. You can't repay me. You can't repay me. All he asked for is for your heart. Just give me your life. And I'll take care of you. And I'll make you a part of my family. I won't label you. I won't say, this is not my child. I won't say this is somebody else's child. I'm just in here raising them. Mm-mm. We all became sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord. That's how we celebrate Christmas. Quit falling out over all this foolishness. What's the meaning of the stripes on a candy cane? Folk didn't even make trees the mark of the devil. It's pagan and all this other stuff. Listen. Jesus was born in a lowly manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He came into the world into the most deplorable condition. But yet, he was the light of the world. And I said that to say this to somebody. that regardless of how many lights you hang on your house, regardless of how big or small your tree is, if you got Jesus, you got the light of the world. And God would rather that you light up somebody's house, that you be the one that radiate in someone's house versus you trying to put on, listen, there's some houses, no, I love them. I love driving down them streets. And I always say that sometimes I'm glad I don't live next to them. But the problem is because of some spirits and some behaviors and some attitudes and how mean some folk can get, some folk are saying, whether you know it or not, the same problem, maybe even about you or me, they're probably saying, I'm glad I don't live next to them. And it has nothing to do with the lights on your house. But it has everything to do with the light that you won't let shine. Radiate in your house. So be careful. You're falling out over the wrong step. This is a diversion, but that's the mark of the devil. And he's been doing it, per what we've taught in this series, since the beginning of time. And all of this is an attempt to try and stop God's promises. Because God made a promise to you. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. The devil doesn't know the plans. He just knows that God has a plan for you. All he wants to do is stop the plan. He could care less. He knows that if it's coming from God, it's going to be a blessing. He just wants to stop the plan. And sometimes if God can, if the devil can stop you, and sometimes the plan is not just about you, but it's about God wanting to use you to be a blessing. So if he can snuff out your light, somebody else won't be reached. All because God wants to use you to celebrate life and life more abundant. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. The doors of the church are open.